attribute of oneness manifests itself in this creation, and you have one of everything. It's a very beautiful explanation. One of the attributes of God is incomparable. Incomparable means nothing is like it. And that attribute of incomparable has brought about the uniqueness of its creation. Everything is unique. So let us understand it in this level. Also, in the world of humanity, there is not equality. People are different in their level of understanding, in their capacities, in their way of life. Everybody is different. Now, why people are not members of the House of Justice, which is a function? Remember, it's a function. Membership of these institutions involves a certain functions. Now, as I said, Abdu'l-Bahá says in the future we will understand the wisdom of it. And you see how wise Abdu'l-Bahá was when he said this. Because in those days nobody had any conception of what the House of Justice was like, what it's going to do, what its functions were. And even now we are not able to probably know what the functions of the House of Justice are going to be in the future. Fully. But as I said, one woman told me this. She said, I understand it. I know why women cannot be members of the House of Justice. Because, you know, membership of the House of Justice, as far as we can gather now, at this present time, 20-some years past now, that we have had the House of Justice, we find these people who become members of it have to give up their personal life to the faith. They have to 24 hours dedicate their lives. 24 hours, it's a 24-hour job. It's not a job that you go from 9 to 5, although you go from 9 to 5 maybe, but it is a 24-hour commitment. And although the Baha'i world is very small, what will happen when the whole world comes under the direction of 6,000 million people? It is full and total giving up of yourself, your personal life entirely. And this woman was said, if I was a member of the House of Justice, if my child becomes sick today, I can't think. If I become pregnant, where is my loyalty now? Where my loyalty lies? Shall I finish with my child? Or shall I be a member of the House of Justice? Because you cannot be a member of an office. It's not just being like a member of an assembly or a national assembly, you are there or not, it doesn't matter. It's a complete, giving yourself to the institutions. Well, this was this woman's view, which I just wanted to tell you what she said to me. But as Abdu'l-Bahá says, in the future we will understand it. You know, the functions of the House of Justice is very, for us it's very important to understand and appreciate the position of the House of Justice today. We are tending to think of it as a grand national assembly or a grand international assembly whose members we happen to know. You know, this is the fact that we know these members, they were our friends, they used to work with us, and now they sit in this international body. It gives us the view, well, fair enough, it is just one of those, it is of course higher, we say, than the national assemblies, and it's got a lot of responsibilities. But really and truly, I wonder, well, I have had the honor and the privilege to be in the presence of the House of Justice. I can tell you what it is like, the very room in which they consult and when they meet as a national assembly, as a universal House of Justice. You know, you meet the members outside the room, you meet the members here and there, they are your friends, you talk to them, they are very humble people. But that is not the point. They have no rights or privileges, as you know. There is no station for them. There is no station for them, really. They have no station in that sense of being anything other than an individual Baha'i. You see, they are an individual Baha'i. The hands of the cause of God have a status in that sense that Shoghi Effendi mentions in this faith. We have various forms of governments incorporated in the faith. Various forms of government, he enumerates such things as democracy, autocracy, theocracy, democracy, and aristocracy. And he says the good points of each one of these have been incorporated in the institutions of the faith. Well, the hands of the cause, you might say, is like the aristocracy we have. But they have no authority, remember. This is one of the things we must remember. They have no authority. The authority lies with the national assemblies and the local assemblies and the House of Justice. But what I was saying to you is that really we are inclined to think that the House of Justice is just an international body of 9 people we meet. But do you know, when you go and you sit in that meeting of the House of Justice, which meets as the House of Justice, it is a tremendous, tremendous power you can feel. And it's up to you. It's all up to the individual who goes there. It's the same way that it was entirely up to the individual who saw Baha'u'llah. How he felt was entirely up to him. How much you receive it. But all I can say, my impression was, very clearly, there is the presence of Baha'u'llah. Definitely there is the presence of Allah. You cannot and you do not look upon the members, and they are all right, they are sitting there. But the presence of Baha'u'llah is in that gathering. And it is that gathering, and it is that institution, which is assisted today by all the powers of earth and heaven to rule over mankind. To rule over mankind. And it shall rule over mankind. And a time will come that the kings and rulers of the world will go there and pay homage to the House of Justice. Already we are told by Shoghi Effendi that this thing will come in its own time. He describes the story of the pilgrim kings in his Persian writings in such eloquent manner that how these kings and rulers of the world will discard their kingdoms, some of them, or they will bring their crowns to the threshold of Baha'u'llah, how they will surrender themselves to him, how they will pray with the utmost devotion, and how at the end of their pilgrimage they will go to the House of Justice to receive their instructions of what to do. And this is why when you go into the building of the House of Justice today, there is a magnificent hall, a banquet hall, for the reception of the kings and rulers of the future. And mankind is absolutely asleep about this. Doesn't know what is happening at all. But this is a body that Baha'u'llah has said in his writings will establish upon this earth the sovereignty of Baha'u'llah. The sovereignty of Baha'u'llah will come into being through the instrumentality of this great institution, which has to guide us, because Baha'u'llah is guiding it step by step. Every step that they take is guided by Baha'u'llah, and we can see it in daily life. We can see it as Baha'is. Every decision they take, you can see it was providentially designed and decreed that this is the way to carry out our work. And they are protected. One of the things which is promised to them is that the institutions of the faith at the world center are protected. And by institutions, I don't necessarily mean buildings, but I mean the institutions that we have, the House of Justice, the world center institutions, are protected. And their guidance will bring to mankind in the future such glories that we cannot estimate at the present time. So what are we going to do as Baha'is today? Really? We had always a center to turn to. And you see, one of the basic teachings of this faith, if you want to understand what is the basic teaching of the faith, the basic teaching, apart from recognizing Baha'u'llah, when you recognize Baha'u'llah, you can say that the gist of Baha'u'llah's will and testament, if you want to summarize the will and testament of Baha'u'llah into one word of what he told us we should do after him, there is one word that you can use, and that word is turn to. Baha'u'llah said after him, he said, turn to Abdul Baha, and that's finished, full stop. He is the center of the cause. If you want to know what is the will and testament of Abdul Baha in one word, it was turn to Shoghi Effendi and the House of Justice. Now, today, we have to turn to them. And how do we turn to that body? We turn to that body with devotion and with love and with a feeling of humility that it is Baha'u'llah's sovereignty. Do not look upon people there, but look upon the institution. Of course, the people are also honored and respected by us. We venerate them, we respect them, because they are sitting on that supreme institutions of the faith. Whoever it is, Baha'u'llah says, I will guide them. Whoever it is, you elect 9 people, and whoever they are, Baha'u'llah says, I will guide them. Now, this guidance which comes to the House of Justice is not a guidance which comes in a form, now here it is, it just comes down and sits on the table for them. But whatever happens, they discuss matters, they investigate matters, and the guidance comes when the decision is made. Once they decide, they know it is the right decision. Who is in the world today? Which one of the councils of the world, whether it be religious or political, which councils in the world can claim that their members go into consultation together and they come out and they say, we have made the right decisions, and be sure that they have made the right decisions? Who is there who can say that? But the members of the House of Justice can do that. They go into this chamber, they discuss things, they come out and they know they have made the right decisions. The decision is right. And we have seen miracles. If you really look at what they have done, you can see miracles. Every direction that they have given to the Baha'i world has been instrumental in promoting the faith in miraculous ways. There are many, many stories that we can talk about it, which really astonish some of the believers to see how the House of Justice, in invisible terms, is guided by Baha'u'llah. So that we Baha'is of this generation, who have not got one center of the cause like Shoghi Effendi or like Abdul Baha, although we must read their writings. Now, I'm not saying that. We must turn to their writings. We must all turn to the writings of Shoghi Effendi and Baha'u'llah and Abdul Baha. But we have a visible center to which we turn to. And if we carry out the guidance of the House of Justice, which is the guidance of Baha'u'llah, if Baha'u'llah was living today amongst us, he would have said the same things that the House of Justice are telling us today. If we carry out these guidances as coming from Baha'u'llah, then all kinds of things will happen, not only in our personal lives, but also in our institutions. And the faith will grow, and great numbers will come into the faith. This is, I feel, a very important thing, and I wanted to mention that we should, in fact, at the end of this meeting, we should perhaps say a prayer and turn our thoughts to that body, so that we may become guided by their love and their prayers. And often, Baha'is who gather together, I don't know what's the custom in here, but whenever Baha'is get together in Europe, some of them who really are spiritually minded, communities which are very much working on spiritual levels, they, every time they get together, they pray for the house, and they send messages to the house from that gathering and beg for prayers for themselves. And I think this begging of prayers from the house is a marvelous idea. This is something that I feel that our communication must be a communication not only to pray for them, but to beg for prayers, every great undertaking that you do. And I hope that this gathering in here that we have had for the last 3 days will not be a gathering which we begin with words and end with words. I hope that what we have been saying and will become some use to the friends. And I hope that the suggestion that I made to forget all the things that I have said and to remember those points, by which time maybe you have forgotten all those points by now, huh? We should really try to think about it and to give 1 or 2 hours a day, every person, no matter who we are, to Baha'u'llah for teaching the faith personally. on a personal level, if we do that on a universal scale and religiously give 1 or 2 hours a day in a form, in discipline, and discipline ourselves, and also read the writings in the morning and in the evening, in the same way that I told you the story of this Irish girl in Paris, of how she would do it. This way, we can then bring great victories to the cause of God. And then, really, we must thank Baha'u'llah. I think we can't do anything else but to thank him all the time that he has brought us together in a unity and love. And this love and this unity that we feel in our hearts is not because of ourselves. It's not because of us that we love each other. We are very insignificant otherwise if we divorce the faith from ourselves. Very insignificant. All that is there, and this beautiful spirit that is generated when we meet together, is because of the love of Baha'u'llah, because of his spirit which comes through us. I hope that I am in a way looking forward to meeting the friends again in other parts of this country, your beautiful country, and I'm hoping more and more to meet more of the indigenous people. I feel we have a duty, a responsibility ourselves, to attract them to ourselves, to bring them together, to become as one people. And not until, this is a challenge, I think, to the Baha'i community here, not until the believers here, the Baha'is who are here, can, in their heart of hearts, unite themselves with the indigenous people of the Baha'is, and really bring them together, be together, and work together, can the faith grow. I remember some years ago we had, I'm not saying that these things happen in here because I don't know anything about it really, but I know some years ago we had what they call it a breakthrough in Scotland, bringing a good number of people there. Again, I mentioned there is a class distinction, very very clear class distinction in England. In here you have race distinction, race class, races. Over there it is the prejudice of class. And I remember one particular group of people came into the faith who were belonging to the working class. And then we had the middle-aged Baha'i, middle-aged, middle-class people who were Baha'is previous to that. They never were united. It was a lip service unity, which both sides felt, or at least the others felt. And then the whole thing was disintegrated. The whole thing collapsed. The faith did not go forward. And I think not until this unity is real, that we love to embrace them and involve them in our works, in all the spheres of our activities, can a multiracial community such as this grow. And maybe, I shouldn't say this because I'm not familiar at all with what you do, and I know how much your NSA and your institutions are really devoted to the cause and how much they're working. And we must also pray for our institutions. We must pray for the National Assembly. We must rally around that institution. We must rally around that institution. And with our hearts, pray for them. I mentioned yesterday how the institutions are weak today. They are going through the stages of infancy. We must not look upon what decisions they make. They could make all kinds of decisions. They could make a lot of wrong decisions. We are not concerned with that. But this is an institution of Baha'u'llah. It is now in the stage of infancy. It has the life, it has the spirit, and it has the promise of the future, that in the future the institutions will become so capable of not making mistakes. We must not look into these things, but rather to rally around the institutions of the faith and cherish them and love them, and then the things will grow. I have to say farewell to you now, people who are in this part, and really I cannot describe the joy and the spiritual upliftment which had been with me during these 3 days that I have visited you. And I shall never forget this beautiful faces and beautiful spiritual atmosphere which has been created here. And I thank Baha'u'llah for having given us this great privilege. being together today in this way. My love really has no bounds for all of you. And I want to say a prayer in Persian.